sort out the stuff. I understand you've been looking a little bit at family, you know, like the church family, and it's pretty good to understand who the heck you are. If you don't know who you are, then you might find yourself going in directions that you shouldn't be going in. You know, so if you're a duck, then it's a probably good idea to stick in the water. If you're a chicken, going in the water is not a good idea. It's good to know who you are. You know, and if you say that you follow Jesus, then it's a good idea to know, well, what does that mean? Who am I if I'm in God's family? And tonight I want to work with you a little bit, and I want to, you know, we have a bit of give and take here, a little bit of a interactive chat about some ideas that Australian society has about who Christians are and what we're on about, and for us to think more carefully about who we are so that we can actually live for Christ in this society, we can really be God's family, and we can see others come to know that truth. When Linda and I first went to Kyrgyzstan, it was about 20 years ago, Interserve, the Christian mission group that we work with, they said, listen, it's a really good idea just to keep your focus a bit, to have a theme verse. And I thought the whole Bible was for us. But okay, like I could see that, you know, rationale, theme verse, something you could come back to and check yourself against every now and then, just keep you focused a bit. So this is what we chose. And after 20 years, probably a good idea to review our objectives, right? Once every 20 years, stop and see where you're going, yeah? But we took this, and we thought, fair enough. This pretty much sums up what we're on about. Now, what I want to do tonight is go from the whole Bible and try and simplify it a bit, come down, we just had this great reading, 12 verses from 2 Corinthians 4. I'd like to narrow it even more just down to this verse. In fact, I'd like to focus on three words, the words that are in capitals up there. And those words are preach, Lord, and servant. Because I think there are three pretty key words in that, and I want to explore them a bit more together. Now, in order to do that, because you are living in Australia, I'm not. I'm 2 weeks tomorrow. I'm back off over to Kyrgyzstan. So I'll sort it out for what I think it means in Kyrgyzstan, but I'd like you to think, how is your average Australian going to react to this? For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. How's an Aussie going to react to that? So to do it, we're going to split up into three groups and just get a bit of feedback. So maybe from Kelly to the left, over that way. You can include you or not. You can go with your husband if you like. Don, you know, like, I don't want to split up a married couple or anything. So, but anyway, from about there over to the left, I'd like you to look at the word preach. How do you reckon the word preach is going to come across to your average Aussie? So from Kelly or Don, you two can work it out. We don't need a family squabble here. You two, from you two across to maybe down through here, maybe to Olivia over to that way. I'd like you to look at the word Lord. What do you reckon the word Lord, what connotations is that going to have for your average Aussie? And for the people over on the right, you get the tough one because it's two syllable words, pretty complex, you know. But I like a bit of a challenge. So you can have the word servant. What ideas do you think the word servant is going to bring up in Australian society? So just have a chat with the person beside you, a couple minutes, just 1 or 2 minutes. What do you think they might understand by preach, Lord, and servant? Go for it. So we got any words of wisdom? This is your chance to be, you know, social commentators on Australian society. So what do you reckon? What about this group over on the left here? What do you think, what connotations do you think the word preach might have for your average Aussie? A negative idea, it's lecturing. Uh-huh. Anything else? Yeah, what you've done wrong, what you should do, yeah. Often they might do that, the combination, it's lecturing, it's talking down to people, telling what they should do, telling what they shouldn't do, often in a position of physical, like a physical position of authority, like up high, they're all sitting down and you're standing and they have a security thing in front of them to block you from, you know, block any bad stuff from you. Makes you wonder about the way we do church, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, so preach, not going to go down so well in Australian society. I've still got two words left, so we'll see how else we go. What about Lord? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Basically, I couldn't put it better. We think someone would be a bit up themselves if they say, Lord. Yeah. It's not a very Aussie sort of thing, is it? Yeah. Cricket. As in Lords. I thought we weren't talking about the cricket. Anything else about the word Lord? A singer called Lord. There you go. So people are going to have some fairly mixed reactions. Someone said to me recently, another place I was speaking, they said, Lord, it's a kind of an old word, archaic. It's sort of like 16th century. The Lord in his manor and the serfs down doing whatever they do, you know, ploughing the ground. So not an idea that goes down so well in Australian society. We're much more, hey, we're all even. This is the land of egalitarianism. That's the way we like things. Okay. Yeah, we don't want anyone above us. Yeah. We do. I think Australians are maybe the most anti-authoritarian culture in the world. That's something to be proud of, I think, sort of. What about servant? What if someone says servant, what kind of ideas does that bring up for Aussies? Yeah. Yeah, paid member of staff, the ones who do that stuff, yeah. You know, butler, so yeah, anything else? Servant. You know, you could translate, you could have the word slave up there. It would be, slave. Put your hands up if you want to be a slave. Yeah. Oh, Kelly, you can talk to him. Mate, careful what you, sorry? You already are. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, slave at the kitchen sink, yeah? That happens. Buy a dishwasher. Sorry? Yeah. I mean, I think someone put it really well this morning. It might have been you, Robin, or someone, and someone else in another church. They said the idea that for Aussies, we don't mind being served, but we don't like to serve. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it was Jack's 18th birthday, and we all went out for dinner at a restaurant with some family members, some friends. And it was a bit unusual. We said, oh, can we bring our own cake? And they were so helpful. The waitresses were amazing. They said, we'll just take it. They put the beautiful chocolate sauce Linda made. They poured that over the top. They put the candles in. They lit it. They brought it. Everything was. They really served us very well. It felt nice. I gave them a good tip. I think they were hoping for one. But yeah. But I mean, we like to be served, but we're not that big on serving, are we? And I want to come back to that later on because I think it's a pretty important part of Australian society, which maybe we can be a greater blessing to them. We can serve them in a better way than they ever imagined. So it seems like my theme verse, it's a good thing we went to work in Kyrgyzstan, Linda, because this theme verse doesn't look like a really good one for Australia. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Maybe they don't mind us being their servants, I don't know. But let's look a bit more carefully at what is going on in this verse. Firstly, preach. Can we just have a look at the next one? Thanks, Sam. Thank you. Oops. Is it going to go forward? There we go. Okay. Preach. I took this photo a month or so ago. You can't really see it, but it's got some banners there. It was a church, and it said, one banner said, spread the word. And I thought, church, spread the word. That's fair enough. The other one had cut the carbon. Now, I really don't know anything about the carbon tax debate and all that stuff, right? In Kyrgyzstan, everyone, they burn whatever just to stay alive and stay warm, so I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to comment on that. But it did strike me. I thought, I do think being Christian is a bit of a speaking kind of activity. We should be spreading the word, but what word is it that we're spreading? Well, the word here, it says, for we do not preach, and that word preach, it just means proclaim, announce. In fact, the best analogy for that today would be the newsreader. Today in Sydney this happened. Today in Iran, they're giving you the news. And you can do that either a public forum like a newsreader, or it might be, did you hear about? Did they tell you about? Did you notice that? And we're just bringing news up for people. So it's that sense of presenting the news, not talking down at all. So maybe preach, maybe it's best if we find another word when we talk about that. It's not a talking down. It doesn't exclude interactive, but it is an intentional putting the message across to people. So we've got this very verbal activity. We are going to speak out, but it's speaking about Jesus as the Lord. That's what we're speaking, not carbon. I'm sure that Christians, we should be talking about the environment. We should be having a comment on relationships in society. All those things we should talk about. But I think our primary message is going to be connected with Jesus as Lord. I'm not saying that it's not about how we live. St. Francis of Assisi, he lived a long time ago. I'm not real good on my dates here, but a long time ago. But he's reputed to have said, go into all the world and preach the gospel using words where you must. Using words where you must. Now, it sounds nice, but the fact is it's actually not biblical. And in his defense, he was speaking in a context where people were saying biblical words with no guts. And they were really up themselves. They were really completely off the planet. They're saying, oh, bless you, sister, when she's got no food to feed a family. Bless you, sister. And then they'd go away and, you know, stuff themselves full of food. And he's saying, you cannot live like that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So live. If you're a follower of Jesus, then live like a follower of Jesus. Have his compassion, his love, his mercy. Serve people. To say that there is no verbal aspect to it was just plain wrong. So this being Christian business, being the family of God, is pretty much a verbal activity. We speak the word with gentleness and respect, and we live it in the way we live our lives, right? We should be showing people the true love and mercy of God. What about Lord? There's an interesting one. It's a word we don't hear much. Can we go just next two? Thanks, Sam. Yeah, so I think spread the word, good idea. The word is about the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, I took this photo again. I've been taking a few photos since I came home. This is a T-shirt that a young bloke called Ben, he has this T-shirt. And if you can't read, it's got the sheep skull, and then it says, only sheep need a shepherd. Only sheep need a shepherd, and underneath, live free. Now, the young bloke who wore this, he wore it to a gathering of people, and he's not a Christian. In fact, he's a little bit anti-Christian. And one lady at the gathering, she said, oh, he wore it just to bug me. And he's worn it before to when they get together. And he knows she's Christian, and he's having a bit of a go at her. And probably he wore it because he knew Linda and I would be there. Now, in this particular group of people, we are the religious wackos, right? Because we went overseas to serve Jesus. That is really crazy. So he's probably having a bit of a go at us too. Nice young bloke, you know, just having a bit of a go at us. So when I saw his shirt, I said, Ben, great shirt, mate. And she looked at me. I said, I love your shirt. And Ben was a bit puzzled because he expected that I would not like his shirt. But I said, Ben, it's just how I reacted. I said, Ben, great shirt. I love your shirt, mate. I said, that is so true. Only sheep need a shepherd. I said, and that's the trouble with Australians. We don't realise that we're sheep. So you see, we want to be the Lord, don't we? We want to be in control. We don't want anyone telling us who's the boss. We want to be equal with everyone. I'm the master of my own life, the master of my own destiny. What a load of rubbish. We cannot. I mean, anyone here got a solution to global warming in their back pocket? Anyone sort out the global financial crisis? What about Syria? Wouldn't it be great if we could ease that suffering and the terrible tragedy over there? What has anyone here got a perfect solution to the relationship problems, to that argument you had with a friend in the last week or a spouse or to broken relationships? Have we got any solutions to those? What about to your health? Anyone here got a cure for cancer? See, we are not the lords of our lives, and it is foolish of us. We are being just plain foolish if we think that we are in control of our lives. Instead, I'd suggest to you, can you put up the next one? Thanks, Sam. I'd suggest to you that it's not a matter of only sheep need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, we are dead and in bondage to the devil. We are trapped and we have no hope. What is so sad about Ben, this young bloke? He's a good young bloke, but he's in his late 20s and his life is not going so well. He's had depression. He has not been able to work for the last 2 years because of depression. His life partner, who he's really committed to, lovely young girl, She's got very serious health issues. They're doing it tough. And see, Ben, he sees counsellors, he sees psychologists. He's hanging out. He's just crying out for something in life. And being Lord of his own life is not fixing it. The world is not such a fun place at times. And you know what? We do need a shepherd. We just don't like to admit that we are not the king. We don't like to admit that actually we're not in control. And the Bible uses some harsher analogies than sheep and shepherd. What about your clay and he's the potter? You're a lump of dirt. You are dust. And if it was left there, that would be a terrible thing. But in fact, we know that the Lord Jesus, who made this world, he took us from dust, from nothing, and he made us his own sons and daughters, his own brothers and sisters. So that is actually a good Lord to have. I don't know whether you think he is Lord or not, but if you just think about, here is the guy who made us. He lifted us up from nothing to give us everything. He even died in order to save us. He is the Lord, and he's worth following. What about servant? And pop on to the next one. Thanks, Sam. What about servant? I didn't take this photo. I grabbed this one off the internet. It says, you deserve it, and underneath is written, love, anonymous marketer. See, the marketing people, the advertising people, they love to tell you that you deserve something. You've had a pretty rough week, Anna. It's been, you know, pretty heavy week. You deserve that time off. You deserve that new dress. Not you, Dave, the girl behind you, mate. You don't buy dresses, mate, except for your... You deserve it. And it's all about you. Now, it's not wrong to be comfortable. It's not wrong to do things for yourself. Have a holiday. Give thanks to God for it. If you like a nice bottle of wine, a good meal, if you like to go spend a couple hours surfing, go for it, enjoy it, give thanks to God. But it is not about you. Not if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, no, Kent, you are the servant and I am the Lord. And this is the picture that he gives me. Thanks, Sam. Can you? Thank you. That's the picture. I mean, have you ever washed someone's feet? It's a pretty basic, it's a pretty humbling, like humiliating. So that's real servant stuff, washing someone's feet for them, particularly if they're fairly dirty. They've been walking around in sandals all day. Jesus did it for his followers, and he asked nothing less of us. He's not talking about putting yourself out a wee bit or, oh, look, I got a spare $5 I could help you out with. He's talking about really giving yourself, sacrificial giving. I noticed that you had the roster up there before for next week, responsibilities. How are we going to all get together and things to run smoothly? We're going to have servants. It said, so I think you had the word servant up there. Right now, put your hand up if you're a mum or a dad and your kid are out in the kids program. Do you mind putting your hand up? Are you happy that your children are out there? Do you love the people who are serving you? Yeah. I mean, see, that's serving. I was at another church last week in the morning service, and they had an interview with this young guy, this young gangly, 18, 19-year-old guy gets up there and a young teenage girl with him. And I thought, what the heck are they doing out of bed this time on Sunday morning? And they in fact, run, they interviewed them, they were running the program for kids from year 1 to 5 or something like that. I thought, that's got to be God. What else would possess someone to get out of bed on a Sunday morning and go and look after a group of little kids? No money. No, in fact, they need to give extra time. You've got to go through child safety training now. It's got to be God. It's wonderful. Now, I'm not saying that people don't know God, don't serve, but I am saying that for Christians, this is the norm. We are called to serve. And as servants, we don't call the shots. Tell me, who is in charge? You like your either-or questions, mate? They're fun, they're great. Who is in charge, the Lord or the servant? You should answer Lord at this stage, okay? I'll give you, this is not a rhetorical question. You're allowed to answer. Who calls the shots? Who makes the decisions, the Lord or the servant? The Lord. We all know that. But we like to think I'm in control. And when I forget that I'm a servant, when I am your servant for Jesus' sake, I start to decide, I think I'll just take a bit of time off. I think I'll do it my way. I know God says I shouldn't do that, but I think I might get a kick out of doing that. I might indulge in something and what the Bible calls it is sin. Because I think, well, it's okay. I can call the shots. No, servants don't call the shots. And you know what? I don't know about you. You work it out for yourself. But for me, I would do a lot better to remember I am a servant of others for Jesus' sake. I am not the Lord. I am not preaching myself. Paul wrote this because other people were sort of saying, you should follow us. We are the true teachers. We're the gurus of spirituality. We can really tell you about Jesus and real Christianity. Paul goes, we're not preaching ourselves. We're not putting ourselves forward. I want to just put forward to you Jesus Christ and him as Lord. And us, who are we? Look, we are your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, this servant business, just so you don't get it wrong, it doesn't mean that I just lie down and, you know, Dave can walk all over me. I am Dave's servant for Jesus' sake. It is because I have a master, a Lord, an absolute dictator who controls me, and he says, Kent, serve Dave. Kent, go here, do that. Kent, go here, do that. And that's so I'm doing it, I'm serving Dave for Jesus' sake. And it's for his, for Jesus' glory, and so that Dave might submit to Jesus as Lord as well. That's what we're on about. So that's the picture I want to try and stick in your head. Now, sometimes when we talk about this, it's easy to lose the focus, right? And when we start, you get all the focus. So the overarching theme throughout this one verse and throughout the whole Bible is Jesus. Thanks, Sam. You can just go through the next couple. So there should be 3 points up there, I think, under. There you go. So we preach, we proclaim, we speak out that about Jesus. We submit, we live lives that show he's the boss. How do I make my decisions? I refer to Jesus. How do I make my, what are my values? Well, I look at Jesus. I submit to him as Lord, and I serve others for Jesus' sake. That's what I'm on about. So it's all about Jesus. Now, sometimes when we do this, we can easily get it wrong. And I know for a lot of you, there are a lot of four-letter words. We have plenty of four-letter words in Australia. We like them a lot. And one of them is the E word. Now, the four-letter word E starts with E. That's evangelism. I'm just not good at counting. But it's like a four-letter word, right? Evangelism. Oh, don't get, you know, like, because it's very uncomfortable when we start speaking about Jesus. But in fact, we're told here, speak about Jesus. Let people know that he's Lord. And I want to suggest to you that the more intentional we are about speaking about Jesus, the more prayerful we are about living for Jesus and speaking for him, the easier it is. But we do need to be intentional. In my work, I've got my major clients, so I've got a couple gold mining companies, German development agency, they're like AusAid except from Germany. I can't remember how to translate it into English. It's like the European Fund of Central Asia, I guess it would be. Yeah, they're a non-government organisation. Churches, all these different clients. Now, most of them, except for the church, most of them are not Christian at all. And I think, well, what can I do? So intentionally, I just gently let them know, you know, just quite wait that I'm a Christian. No need to make a big deal about it, just sort of let them know, but I'm intentional. And I'm prayerful, say, Lord, give me opportunities. Help me to speak where I can. And I try and be appropriate. Now, it never feels comfortable. It never will feel comfortable. And that is part of the hassle of being a Christian in a comfortable world. Sometimes we're going to be, or quite often, we're going to be a little bit uncomfortable. But we are uncomfortable that we might bring comfort to others. We might bring the comfort of Jesus to others. That's why we make ourselves uncomfortable. One of the hassles that we have sometimes when we start speaking, we speak gently and with respect, but I think we put responsibility in the wrong place. Now, the word responsibility is not in 2 Corinthians 4:5. I don't think it happens. I'm not sure it even occurs in 2 Corinthians. So you tell me if you think I've gone off the page here. But I think the idea of responsibility is very helpful for us. When I speak to someone about Jesus, where am I putting the responsibility? Let me tell you a story to try and flesh it out a bit. I used to be in the Army. I did 10 years in the Australian Army, jumped out of planes, shot guns, went scuba diving. It was terrific. It was a great life. And then I got sensible and got married and got out of the Army. But when I was in the Army, I had a good mate, and he stayed in the Army a lot longer, and he was promoted up and up and up. he finally was given command of a regiment, which was a pretty big deal, very significant. And his first day at work, he said to the regimental sergeant major, "I want you to get everyone out on the parade ground. I want to talk to them." So you can imagine all the troops out there. He had men and women in his unit. They're all out there, and he's standing up. He goes, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Colonel Grant Dibden, your new commanding officer. I'm looking forward to working with you. There is one thing you need to know about me. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore..." Now, Grant was telling me this. I was talking to him just the other day. And he said, everyone's standing on parade at ease. You know, and he said, when he said, "therefore," they went, "oh." Because they're thinking, all the guys in the transport platoon are thinking, we're going to have to take down all the girly posters on the wall. All the battalion headquarters staff think, no more dirty jokes. Everyone think, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm going to have to do that. Oh, mate. See, everyone knew that this Bible basher, this Christian weirdo, was coming as the new boss, because the Australian army is pretty small and they knew about him beforehand. So when he goes, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, therefore," they're going, mate, life is going to get bad around here. This is what he said. He said, "I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can always expect from me the highest level of integrity, respect, and professional conduct. If you ever feel I'm not living up to that, feel free to come and talk to me." Where did he put the responsibility? On himself. I'm a Christian, therefore, I'm a Christian. I say Jesus is Lord, therefore my life had better shape up. You, hey, you work it out for yourself, but my life had better shape up. He put all the responsibility on himself, and I think we can do that. Now, I try and do this in gentle ways. I try to be gentle, respectful. I look for appropriate moments. Sometimes you can be artificial. If you've got your program of evangelism, you are going to shove it down someone's throat whether they want it or not, and that is how they will receive it, being shoved down their throat. So you need to pray for opportunities and look for it. One of the great things about Christians is, did you know that it's okay for you to steal? You can steal so long as what you're stealing is ideas on how to share the good news about Jesus. Don't steal anything else. But you can steal, and this is what I mean. Listen to this story. I'm with a client in Kyrgyzstan, gold mining company. And they said to me, "Oh, Kent, listen, you agreed that you would stick with us for this project. It looks like the project's going to go on a little bit longer. I hope that you can stick with us for the duration of the project." And I said to this lady, she was my boss in this company, I said, "Listen, I'll definitely stick with you. You know that I'm a Christian and I told you I'd stick with you. It's really important for me to follow my word. Because I'm a Christian, I want to serve your company with integrity. If you ever think I'm not living up to it, please feel free to let me know." You ever heard those words before? I just stole them off my friend. He didn't mind. God doesn't mind. So if someone's got a good idea on how to share with people, then use it. And I was able to just let her know there, listen, for me, being Christian, working for your company, big responsibility for me. And I hope it's a blessing for you. It's also good to clarify here about the we and the who. It says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul and Timothy wrote this letter. You could say that "we" is just Paul and Timothy, but that's pretty minimalist, I think, very reductionist. If you actually read it, you see that Paul is talking about all Christians. All followers of Jesus are going to be speaking not themselves, not putting themselves forward, but putting forward Jesus as Lord, submitting to him and serving others for Jesus' sake. So it's for all of us here. If you follow Jesus, this is for you. Who is the "you" and, you know, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake? It could be the church in Corinth, it certainly was, but it's broader than that. It is for all people. That is why it's great to see that you are serving each other here. You've got people out there serving you now by looking after the kids. You've got people who serve by doing the music, by, you know, printing, you know, photocopying the little sheets you've got. All that kind of stuff. We're serving one another. And we're serving outside of the family of God. We are serving the community around us. You are serving when you go to work. God calls on each of us to not put ourselves forward, but Jesus as Lord, and to serve others at work, at uni, at school, in your home, in your community. Serve them for Jesus' sake. It's not an easy thing to do, but I do find that if we are intentional, if we are prayerful, if we keep the responsibility on ourselves, not on others, We can do this. Now, what I want you to do now is I want you to consider, no, I want you to commit to being uncomfortable this week. This is what I mean. I want you to consider now how this week you might live out 2 Corinthians 4:5. How you might not put yourself forward, but you might put forward Jesus as the good shepherd, Jesus as Lord, and that you might radically serve someone, that you are stepping beyond the ordinary bounds to serve them. See, I think Aussies are going to respond. We said before, Aussies don't like to serve, but they don't mind being served. So when you do serve them, that's going to wake up a few people. Why did Don do that for me? I was a right beggar to him last week, and now he comes back and he's serving me. He's helped me out with something. I stuffed up at work, and you, instead of blaming me, you're trying to help me sort it out. Who are these people? Well, they're followers of Jesus. That's who they are. And that's what we want to look for, is this radical service. So I'd like you to take a moment now to think about this week how you can be uncomfortable so that you might bring the comfort of Jesus to other people. I'm not necessarily saying that this week you are going to share the gospel, quote unquote. You may not even mention Jesus' name. I don't know what the context. We do need to be verbal about this. We do need to be explicit about Jesus sooner rather than later. But this week, how can you step out of your comfort zone and try to have an impact in someone else's life? By word, by deed, by serving them. Chat with the person beside you, and I'm doing this, I'll be up front with you, I'm doing this so that you might be a little bit accountable to one another. Not in the sense of I'm checking up on you, but how can I support you? So if you share with me what you're going to do this week, then I want to be praying for you about it this week. Anyone who wants you, only one person, sorry, you come out and you can talk with me, and we'll talk about how we each are going to try and be uncomfortable this week, and we can pray for each other. Please, I'll give you a couple moments to do that now, just to share with each other and help each other to be uncomfortable, that you might bring the comfort of Christ to someone this week. So have a chat. Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off. I truly am sorry to cut you off, because I hope that what you're able to do now is just take a little step. One of the troubles we often have is, you know, we hear lots of good ideas and you get all fired up and then nothing happens. So why I want you to do that, like I said, so you can just support each other a little bit in doing that this week, pray for each other, ring each other up and say, how's it going? I just shared with Nathan what I'm going to do this week is I'm going to write to that guy, Ben, and just see how he's getting on. Because, he's got a pretty hard life. And, I mean, it's easy for me to use him as a sermon illustration. How heartless and gutless is that? So I think I need to get out of my comfort zone a little bit and write to him and just see how he's getting on. Let me finish with, I'd like to tell you many stories about Kyrgyzstan, and one of my gifts, everyone has gifts from God, and one of mine is verbosity, but I won't do that, no. Let me just finish with one story, which I hope will illustrate to you a little bit. One of my clients, a gold mining company, said, listen, can you take this Kyrgyz guy and train him in community development? Teach him how to go into a community, help the people understand their needs, help the people to work together to address their needs in health, in agriculture, water, education. And I said, no worries, that is exactly my job. I'd love to do that. And the guy I had to work with is a bloke by the name of Kwanich Beck, about 40 years old. He's a village boy, you know, grew up in a village, and he's from a development background. I thought, how easy is this? This is going to be great. And so the very first day at work, his very first day at work, I took Kwanich back into the village. And this village is near where they want to mine the gold. Now, this village is, they're a pretty ordinary Kyrgyz village, and they're pretty scared about this whole gold mining business. The gold mining company did not communicate with them clearly and early on what they were doing and how it would work. And these poor people in the village are thinking, is this going to destroy my environment and my livelihood as a farmer? Is it going to endanger my children's health? What if there's a lot of corruption and we just get ripped off, we get left with a big hole in the ground and ripped off? They had a lot of questions. And because these are pretty important questions, it touched their hearts, pretty emotional response. They would get pretty upset with the mining company. They would have big demonstrations against them, stuff like that. So I'd been working there for some time and I was aware of this. I knew a lot of people in the village. but it's not an easy situation. So I went in there this day with Quinich Beck, his very first day at work. Within about 10, 15 minutes, was surrounded by a group of 30 to 40 men, maybe more. They were very angry. They're shouting, they're yelling, they're threatening us with physical violence. They're very upset. And you know, we talked with them, things calmed down. We wrote down what their concerns were, promised that we would get clear answers from the company, encouraged them to keep asking questions, stuff like that, and we left and went back to the office, which is in the next village. We got back there, and Quinich Beck, he just looked at me, and he goes, "Kent Ake, older brother Kent, so I don't know if I can keep doing this job for much longer." This is lunchtime, first day at work, right? For much longer. And he said, "I feel like I've got one foot in the community," because he's a village boy and he's from development background. "I've got one foot in the company because I work for the company," he says. He said, "And I feel like in between my feet there's an irrigation ditch and it's getting wider." He said, "I don't think I can stand up for much longer." And the poor guy, he was really upset. And he said it to me, Kent Ake, older brother Kent, like I had it all together, right? And I said to him, "Quinich Beck, I know exactly how you feel and I feel just the same way." I said, "And that is why I look to God. Because when I look to him, when I keep focused on him, then I'm able to serve the community with integrity and bring blessing to them. I'm able to serve my client, the gold mining company, with integrity and bring blessing to them. I'm able to serve you and bring blessing to you." And I said, "As for my feet haven't been touching the ground for a long time, mate. That ditch got much wider. God's been holding me up." And what I was saying to him is, I think what the Apostle Paul says to us tonight, Quinich Beck, I'm not preaching myself. I'm not putting myself forward as some guru, community development, community relations consultant. I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven, a good and loving shepherd, and he's got it under control when I do not. And I want to follow him so that I can serve the community, I can serve the company, and I can serve you, for his sake and for your blessing. That's what we're trying to do in Central Asia, and I pray that this week God would help you to be a little bit uncomfortable, that you might bring the comfort of Jesus to those around you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we call you Lord because that's what you are. We're not equal with you, and we don't pretend to be. Lord, please forgive us for those times when we do set ourselves up as the rulers, when we think that we are in control, and we know that we sadly know the truth that we are not. We pray that you would help us to submit to you as Lord. We pray that you would help us to speak about you with respect and gentleness, but with clarity, Lord, that we'd speak to those around us. We pray that we would let them know that you are the reason that we serve, so that we don't steal your glory, but we promote you as the one who gives us life and joy, the one who is our good shepherd. We pray that you would help us this week to trust you and submit to you in such a way that we would be able to speak about you as Lord, we would be able to serve others for your sake, for your glory and for their blessing. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.